Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Learning to Reach Your World podcast, Season 2, Episode 3. My name is Patrick Bicknell. We're going to be looking at creation for this topic of our worldview. Again, just hoping to give you some tools to help you better reach your world with the gospel. And again, when we talk about the gospel, what are we saying? It's the news, the good news that Jesus Christ came to this world, died on the cross for us, was buried, and rose again. That if we believe and put our faith in him, we will be saved. So in this episode, we're going to be discussing creation. How was the world made? Why is that important? What do we believe the Bible says about creation? This is coming from our last episode talking about who God is. So again, I want to encourage you, go listen to the previous episodes. It was a great discussion. And now we are moving into the awesome, very easy topic of creation that Josh Combs with us here. I will not go into my spiel like the last few episodes. The same scrim twice was enough. So, so Josh, do you want to explain to us?
Well, now that I'm creation? A scientist and a resident scholar, geez, oh, Pete.
We're just going to keep adding the list. We're going to make it longer each time.
No, it's who you're stuck with. Sorry. Creation. Why does it matter? Well, it matters for several reasons. I think it matters because of believing the Bible. Mm-hmm. So if we pull at the thread of this isn't true, or this is fable, I don't think we would say fairy tale, mm-hmm. but like this is fable, this isn't meant to be taken literal. If we pull at that thread, eventually we have nothing. Mm. And really what it is we've put ourselves in the driver's seat of saying, I'm going to decide based upon my intellect or my resources or my observations, which parts of the Bible hold up in my modern context and which parts are, mm-hmm. you know, just their oral tradition that was passed down and passed down and passed down. Like, it's not real. It's a, you know, fictional story.
Which, when we talk about the topics we've already said with worldview, authority of Scripture, who God is,
yep.
we can't do that.
We can't do that. Those are immovables. Those mm-hmm. are things that have to be set in place. Those are foundational pieces. Mm-hmm. So one of the major arguments against Christianity or against the Bible is creation. We live in a world today where many people believe we evolved from nothing. An event known as the Big Bang happened, and the universe as we know it evolved over billions and billions of years. Humanity came from single cell organism and evolved through apes, and you know, here we are. And it's just a mess. Mm-hmm. It's just a mess on so many different levels, because what we see, even in creation as it is today, imperfect, fallen, is we see order. Mm. We see structure that points us back to a designer. Mm-hmm. And we know from the Bible in Genesis 1 that designer, that intelligent designer, if I can use that phrase, I don't know if we're even allowed to anymore, is God, is the God of the Bible, is Yahweh, is Jehovah, is Elohim, is those words from the Old Testament is who God is. So we see God creating. And Genesis is not Psalms. So maybe this will be helpful for some folks listening. The way that we read the poetry of Psalms or Song of Solomon, it's teaching a truth, but it's doing it in a poetic way. Mm. So the Bible says, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, they show it. How do they declare it? That's not like they're the heavens, the clouds, the stars
speaking.
Are speaking yeah. to us, right? And we see some of that imagery, mm-hmm. the rocks crying, you know, so on and so forth. Well, those are poetic. That's poetic language. Genesis is not poetic language. Genesis is meant to be history. this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And you see that with the creation account. You see that with the stories of Noah's flood. You see that with Cain and Abel. You see that with the genealogies. Mm. So when we approach Genesis, and I actually appreciate Ken Ham and the Answers in Genesis ministry, their commitment to, we're going to defend the validity of the Bible, the inerrancy of the Bible, the dependability of the Bible from the very first verse. And I think some Christians waffle on that. Mm-hmm. Now, don't be a jerk about it, mm-hmm. but don't waffle on it. So we see creation is important for our commitment to the validity of the Scripture, the reliability of Scripture.
And I like how you mentioned real quick that Answers in Genesis and Ken Ham, because like these are people who are very intelligent.
Oh my gosh. Scientists, so
doctors,
smart.
Right? Like we don't need to have fear of like, oh, we're just believing that Christian folklore of creation, yep. right? Yep. You don't need to have that fear. There are very way smarter than us who believe this and say, we see this in creation, you know?
Way smarter than us, doing all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. Experiments and yeah, it points to a designer. There's an mm-hmm. order in the universe. And Genesis 1 is what we believe to be the creation account. Mm-hmm. So Genesis 1 says in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the creator. And God is the originator. So this is when time begins. So God existed in the eternity before time began. Mm-hmm. There was God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see that in the fact that it's the singular noun there in Genesis 1, but the plural verb. Mm. So, and we also see that God let us, and this is in verse 26, let us make man in our own image. So there's God creating the universe as we see it. Now, again, fallen, broken because of sin, mm-hmm. but there's God creating it. And the verbiage of Genesis 1 is day. It's a 24-hour day. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to get around that. I you know, when I was younger, I was much more in for let's fight over the age of the earth. I'm mm-hmm. not really in for that anymore. But I have to take Genesis as history because I take Abraham as history because he's in Genesis. And mm-hmm. I take Joseph as history and I take the covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as history. Mm-hmm. I can't be like, wow, the beginning of the book's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah.
The beginning of the book is, oh, that's a difficult one. I have to take that as the word, because we have Jesus, again, back to that idea. We have Jesus affirming the writings of Moses, Jesus affirming that. And then we have the apostles in John. We have Paul in Colossians and other places affirming that it is God is the one who created it, and Jesus is God. He created what we see. By him, through him, and to mm-hmm. him were all things that were made. That's we can't get around that. So I think it's a 24-hour period.
Which, too, with that, I think something that is unique when the Sabbath is instituted, why on the seventh day we rest, it says, for God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, on the seventh he rested.
Yes.
And that's an appeal to how he created the world, I think, as well, in a 24-hour period.
There's order. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how the first day isn't 24 hours, but by the last day there's 24 hours of rest? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and you get into all kinds of, well, there's a huge gap between either side theory. There's a gap between Genesis, the day one and day two. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think it's 24 hour. I think it's six 24 hour periods mm-hmm. that God creates. The seventh, he rests and he makes everything that we see. Now there's a little bit of adjustment after the flood. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you see the introduction of seasons mm-hmm. at that point. You see a predator prey system introduced at the flood. You didn't have that in Genesis. You see, I think, what would be the introduction of the rainbow mm-hmm. in Genesis later on with Noah with the flood. So now there's this sign in the sky that's a covenant that God will see it and not, you know, flood the earth with water again. So I think we have to take Genesis 1 literally. The other thing I heard years ago that really resonated with me, as we're going to talk about, I think it's in the next episode. Are we next episode's the fall?
No, after that. We're going to do humanity.
Okay, so we got two more episodes. Yep. So in the episode of the fall, we'll talk about this a little more. But if evolution is true, and not like evolution in the sense that we've evolved over time. But I'm
talking microevolution.
Yeah, microevolution. Everyone, you know, evolves as humans, mm-hmm. right? And migration and where we live and so on and so forth. But we're talking like macroevolution, single celled organism to complex mm-hmm. thing. No, that is not true. The Bible does not affirm that. Mm-hmm. The Bible affirms order, that God creates all these things. But the one of the things that I see that is a problem with macroevolution is death. Meaning mm. God creates everything, there's no death. Mm. There's no fall in the world. Everything is perfect. And no animals are dying. Human beings aren't dying. The trees aren't dying. If you have death prior to sin being introduced in the world, you have a real problem. You have a real issue. Like, so Eden wasn't perfect?
That's fascinating. I mean, I genuinely, like, obviously we don't have a camera on my face, but like that.
Okay.
That's a thought that, I don't know, that's kind of like.
Well, it's not original to me. I heard it years ago, and I had the same probably reaction, because I was like,
huh.
Okay, because I believe that Romans teaches mm-hmm. that it's through Adam that death was introduced into the world. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's not true, some people say, well, it was death just for humanity. And I'm like, well, no, Romans, that same passage talks about creation mm-hmm. groaning. Creation has been made, has been put in subjection because of Adam's sin. So we have to take Genesis as literal. We can't. We have to take Genesis, I believe, as history. I think we have to have some grace for people who may believe that there's, you know, more gaps between, mm-hmm. you know, how long were Adam and Eve on the earth before they sinned, you know.
Yeah, can you actually discuss that real quick? Because I think there are, I know there's, like, passions that I like to listen to who do believe in that. Like,
yes.
How can we still hold hands with people like that?
Can you, I think, that if we can take it as literal that God created. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would go to war with someone over the six literal 24 hours. Mm-hmm. That's my conviction. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe the Bible is saying. Where I would cease to hold hands, as you're saying, or fellowship, like, and be pumped about a guy or endorse a guy, mm-hmm. is if a guy goes, well, that's more like a fable of creation. I'd be like, whoa. But God actually created. I think we run into some major problems if we have like a theistic evolution where God just kind of kick-started the evolutionary process. I think theology of sin entering the world defeats that argument. To me, that's one you can't overcome. Mm-hmm. And then I think we have to look at Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, as literal people who lived, the first people who lived. And so, to me, the creation account of the first page of the Bible, mm-hmm. you can't waffle on that, because you're going to be in trouble the rest of the way if you do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think naturally, as the discussion of creation gets brought up, it's always science or faith, right? Mm-hmm. Reason or logic, whatever it is, right? So how can we approach this tension, especially in our culture, that they want to say where it's all logic, it's all science, which that's another discussion, you know, but how do we approach that tension when we're having discussions about how the world was created?
Well, I think it's knowing who you're talking to. You know, who's the person? What are they wrestling with? I wouldn't pretend to be a scientist, mm-hmm. But science is over and over again trying to debunk the creation account, and never wins. Mm-hmm. It's like when it comes to like the evolution, for example, the fossil record of the evolution of a human. Mm-hmm. We don't have that. We don't have that at all. Now, have humans changed microevolution? Mm-hmm. So absolutely we have. You know, people are proportionally taller now than they have been, and like, just okay, so that changes people change over time. It's mm-hmm. centuries, right? Thousands of years. But where's the fossil record for turning where's the missing, literally the missing link? I mean, we don't even, like, we've just accepted that as a punchline now, but that's like a real thing. Like, where's the fossil record? I love museums. I love going to natural history museums. There's not a blessed thing there. And I've been in the Louvre. I've been in the London Museum, you know, British Museum. I've been in the Smithsonian. Like, I love museums. There ain't nothing there saying, let me walk you from the single cell all the way up to where we are now. You can't do it. And, you know, we would talk about creation. The Bible makes sense of those things. The flood, this cataclysmic event that happened on the earth, killed everything on the planet except for what was in the ark, sea creatures that were in the sea, and the eight people that were in the ark. So in just moments, millions and millions of living creatures and people were killed and smashed into mud and all kinds of things. So you see that arc, you know, you see that evidence around the globe. Creation makes sense of it. So I would hold hands with a guy who's, you know, who's committed to Genesis is literal, that it's history, that God did create, not a theistic evolution. To me, I would struggle with some of those things. But Kent Hughes, for example, his Genesis commentary, I think he handles that portion very graciously. Like, there's a, let's not go to, we don't need to go to war over this, but, you know, there, I think there's a some guardrails.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you bring up the museums, because last year, my wife and I, we went to New York, and we went to the Museum of Natural History. Which, bummer, because I thought it was exactly Night of the Museum, and it was not, based off of seven different museums.
It is not.
Very disappointed. But we go through the exhibit where it's talking about creation. And I thought it was so interesting, because you get, they have this like show going on. It's Liam Neeson. They're doing this great big light show. They're trying to make it look so good, sound so good. But when you actually like think about what he's saying and get past the facade, there's really no substance to it.
There's nothing.
I think we should challenge those people, right? Like, okay, 100%. If you say you believe this, like, dig into it. Tell me why you believe it and see where that goes.
Right. You believe in the Big Bang. Fantastic. Who started it? Where did the energy come from? Right, we as Christians would say God started creation. And if someone says, well, where did God come from? We would say God always existed. He's always existed. He's that's why we call him God. Like, it makes, it's logical. Like, someone can refuse to believe that. Someone can reject that. But we start with God created. And that, you know, that tips some dominoes over for us, because we also look and go, one of the problems, I think Ken Ham points this out, and I think in a good way, one of the problems with evolution is, first of all, that we're not accountable to God, but also who imparts value to humans. We would say every human is made in the image of God. Well, evolution, I mean, evolution gave birth to some different movements and some things, you know, eugenics and things like that, where humans could be viewed as differently. So, you know, 120 years ago, 100 years ago, scientists were talking about, well, races are created differently. And you had, quote unquote, scientific proof for that. What is the Christian message to every person? Every person is made in the image of God. Every person bears the mark of their creator. That's a white person, right? That is a black person. That is an Asian person. That is every person that's ever been born. The Christ, because of creation, and I think this is, again, this is a do or die for us. This is why our worldview, this is why knowing our worldview and the biblical Christian worldview is really important, because we now say to someone, you are valuable. Not because I impart value to you, because now if I'm the one imparting value to you, I can also say you don't have value. I can also say white people have more value than black people, or black people have more value than Asian. I can, people have been saying that crazy nonsense for a long time. Here's what we can say. We can say every person on the planet has value, whether they are rich, poor, whether they are emotionally, mentally, physically disabled, whatever they are, valued, they are made in the image of God. Well, what is that? That's page one of the Bible. Mm. Now we approach people differently. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we look at creation, we know there's an order. We know there are seasons, there is structure. We're not terrified of some existential threat. Again, we talked about this in a previous episode, that we're responsible for holding back, that God made the ocean, that God made this all that's in the sea, mm-hmm. that God set the stars in their place, the sun, the moon. I mean, and when you start to look at tiny, tiny details, you start to look at, if we were any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we were any mm-hmm. further away, we'd freeze. The tilt of the axis of the earth, that's not chance. Mm-hmm. That is all designed beautifully by the God of the Bible.
Yeah, that's why I love that Romans 1 says it's clearly seen. I was not clearly understood, but it's clearly seen. Something that stood out to me with this discussion, like my wife just gave birth to our son. Think about that for a minute, how the Lord designed women to be able to have this baby in their womb and the complexities with that, like just the whole aspect of birth and life coming into the world is
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It's a miracle. It's the miracle of birth. Mm-hmm. Again, back to museums. I don't know we were going to talk about museums in this episode. But, at the, I think it's the Science and Industry Museum in Chicago, they have an exhibit on life, on the human body. So it's a little bit of a challenging exhibit. You know, it's not like there's other things there that are, you know, super fun and mm-hmm. cars or, you mm-hmm. know, space or whatever. They got a huge, like one of the biggest Tesla coils in the world is there.
Oh, wow.
So you can literally go sit under it and it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's a fun museum, but the life one, they have babies from, you know, basically, you know, in utero, right? They have these babies that had died and they have the bodies there and they have them and you can see the growth. And I mean, you literally go to the first one, I don't know if it was a couple of weeks or whatever it is, but you're like, oh my goodness. Like, mm-hmm. you know, very small, but there are features you can distinguish. Then they have the, you know, the skeletal system, like a human skeletal system out there. You can go see. Then they have the nervous system mm-hmm. separated. So all of the nerves of the human body. I mean, it is wild. Skin. So you're able to see, like, so that was just a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Just a random, like that.
Over time, it just kind of happened.
Over time, that happened. Like, it's this belief that somehow, again, back to the humanistic thing,
mm-hmm.
it's the belief that humans can continue to evolve, bring order. To me, at the core of human frustration is the longing for Eden.
Mm-hmm.
It's the longing to go back to mm-hmm. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where you have harmony with God. So there's this peace with God, and then there's this peace with every person on the planet. Well, nobody has that,
mm-hmm.
right? And we have peace with God that we're able to have because of Jesus, but peace with every person on the planet?
Mm.
No more war, no more murder, no more tragedies, no more natural disasters. I know we'll talk more about this in fall. I'm getting ahead of myself. But mm-hmm. like to me, that's what people are longing for. And creation, the Genesis account gives us that God is in control, and then God begins to speak this. Mm. And then, I mean, even when we look out the window right now, like it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's fall, and when we listen to this, it'll be winter, so maybe it'll be less beautiful. But like we look out, and even in the broken world that we live in, there's so much beauty. And God creates that, and the psalmist says, right, the heavens declare the glory of God, your handiwork. Mm. Like, so creation, I think accepting the creation account, and then in our evangelistic efforts, It's being able to confidently to say to someone, you matter, not because society says you matter and not because I say you matter, but because the God who created you loves you and says you are made in his image. What's it mean to be made in the image of God? It means that you are creative. It means, I think, in some sense, you have agency. I think, in some sense, it means, intellect. We are conscious. So we have a consciousness that an animal does not have or that a tree does not have. Trees are great. I love my animals. But that's not conscious in the same way that we are conscious. Those things are not eternal. What did God do? Made us in his image. And be, you know, we didn't live in eternity past, but now that tree, that animal is not going to live for eternity. It's beautiful, and God will redeem creation. We know that from Romans. But we are now eternal beings. So that, I think when we talk about what it means to be made in the image of God, it is looking at someone with confidence and saying they matter. Even if they're just jacked up, even if their life feels like it is just hopeless and just destroyed, we're able to look at them and say, God says you matter. God says you are made in his image. And we can expound on what that means for them.
And I think that's the creation account helps us to do that, because that's really the only true basis where someone can say that, right? You said it earlier, right? Like, if it's based on me, I could say you have value, but the second you aren't doing something for me, I can take it away from you, right? God can't take it.
Did I jump forward and mash our next episode?
Just a little bit. But darn it. A nice little
I saw your face and I go, I think I've messed up.
You know, I don't think people can hear enough how valuable they are, right?
Well, back to creation. No human beings. We won't talk about that.
Yep.
Animals, the order of animals, the species, the planets, the stars, the weather. I mean, do what God orders this. And we see him even in Jesus, God in the flesh, in the storm. What sort of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Well, he commands every wind and wave. It's all his. So he orders a creation. I do think of as an I think in our conversations, you know, let's say you're talking to someone who doesn't know the Lord and you want to share the gospel with them. It may be someone who is like, I'm more into like science than faith. But okay, that's really interesting. Tell me about that. Tell me where that came from in your life. And I think for us, it's diving into some resources at that point and going, okay, how do I gently argue against or have a rebuttal against the evolutionary argument? How to study, learn it. I think you and I can say study and learn it because we're confident that the truth that they will find is that God is the God who ordered the universe and created all things.
And you've mentioned the first Peter verse, always be ready to make a defense. So always. Part of that is we gotta know what we know, right? Look it up and study these things, because
I know we're running out of time, but I want to say, I'll tell a quick story here. So when I was a kid, a high school kid, I was very well versed on the science stuff. I'm talking really good. And I went into my ninth grade science class. We came to the evolutionary thing, and he started to teach things. And I was as you can imagine, a pompous,
no way,
know-it-all jerk face. I know it shocks you. I know you're like, I can't imagine that. But I was. Was I right in what I said? Absolutely. Like, he brought up fossil evidence, and I literally pulled out newspaper clippings that said, they've already debunked that. Here's what it is. It was in the book. Dude, I'm literally like, no, that's they say that's the missing link, but it's not. Here's the article. Finally, the science teacher got so frustrated, he slammed his book. He goes, I don't even believe this stuff anyways. We're done teaching it. I thought I won. My 10th grade year, I go to my science, and my teacher, like day one, I think, pulls me aside and says, hey, we're going to be doing an evolutionary thing. We're going to send you down to the library. We're going to give you an A on it. Why don't you just come up with your own presentation? We'll let you do one day in class. I don't even know if I'd ever made the presentation, but I literally went to the library. Because these, I guarantee these teachers talked and said, hey, if you got Combs in your class,
get him out of here.
He's an idiot. So I look and go, I heard the part, always be ready to give an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like I took that seriously, but I didn't hear the next part with gentleness and respect.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have gentleness and I didn't have respect. So I think there's the study, but I think if we are know-it-alls, we're actually undermining what we're attempting to do.
Mm.
So years later, I ran into that science teacher and I apologized to him because I felt like, you know, I was a terrible, you know, terrible representation of Christ. And I said to a teacher friend of mine, I go, man, I don't even know if he remembers me. And he goes, oh, he remembers you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's creation. We're going to be moving into the image of God next episode, humanity. Tune in for that, episode 4. And we're looking at what being made in the image of God means.
Thank you for listening to the Learning to Reach Your World podcast, season 2, Christian Worldview. We're grateful for the opportunity to share real, practical truth that will help you preach the gospel in your world. If you don't yet know Christ, we invite you to listen to the gospel message we share at the beginning of each episode. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If you have questions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at questions@theriverchurch.cc and we'll do our best to answer them. If you would like to get connected or hear more about the River Church, you can text the word River Church to 97,000. Thank you for listening. We hope you will tune back in soon.